You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
Chapter 1. The Moonless One. The scent of sweet hay and warm horses was the only comfort Ashley Vale allowed herself. It was a thick, earthy blanket against the chill of being invisible. Outside, the sounds of the Blackwood Pack's revelry, a bonfire crackling, laughter sharp as splintered bone, the thump of a drum, were a language she didn't speak. She was among them, but never of them. A ghost in her own home. With a sigh that fogged in the cool air of the stable, she forked another pile of hay into a stall, her movements practiced and silent. She preferred the company of beasts because they never looked at her with pity, their large, dark eyes holding no judgment for what she lacked. Consequently, she was here, tending to the animals, while her pack celebrated the goddess. The irony was a bitter taste in her mouth. The moon goddess, the mother of all shifters, had simply forgotten her, left her empty, human-shaped and hollow where a wolf should have been. The stable door creaked open, spilling a slice of firelight across the dusty floor. A shadow detached itself from the glow. "Look what we have here," a voice sneered, dripping with the honeyed cruelty of a she-wolf who knew her own worth. It was Alara, her blonde hair a golden crown in the flickering light. "Still playing with the ponies, Vale? The Alpha is giving a blessing, but I suppose the moon wouldn't know your name to bless it anyway." Ashley didn't turn. She kept her eyes fixed on the gentle mare munching its dinner. Her shoulders were a tight line of defense. "The horses needed fresh hay, Alara." Her voice was quiet, a low stone in a loud river, because she learned long ago that shouting only made the silence that followed feel louder. Alara took a step closer, the scent of her wolf, pine, and wild aggression filling the space. "You don't belong here. You're a stain on this pack, a moonless mistake." Each word was a familiar little stab. Ashley had a collection of these scars, invisible and deep. She finally turned, her hands clenching at her sides. Her eyes, a plain hazel, met Alara's vibrant, wolfish blue. She didn't offer a defense. She didn't offer an excuse. She just stood there. Her silence was her only shield, a fragile thing that infuriated others because it offered no purchase for their hate. Alara wanted a fight, a cry, a plea. Ashley gave her nothing. Heaving a frustrated snarl, the she-wolf finally spun around and stormed out, leaving Ashley once more in the quiet, dusty dark. The rejection was a constant companion, a cold weight she had learned to carry with grace. As a result of the confrontation, the stable felt smaller, the air thick with unspoken shame. She leaned her forehead against the rough wood of the stall, the splinters pressing into her skin. A single tear escaped hot and quick before she angrily wiped it away. Weakness was a luxury she couldn't afford. This was her life, enduring, surviving, and pretending it didn't hurt. She had to believe her strength was in her silence, in her ability to absorb pain without breaking, in her quiet refusal to give them the satisfaction of her sorrow. Was this all her life was meant to be? A quiet echo in a world of roars? The celebration outside reached a crescendo, a chorus of howls rising to greet the full moon hanging like a silver coin in the black sky. It was a beautiful sound, a song of belonging. For them, not for her. She closed her eyes, trying to block it out. But then another howl cut through the night. It was different, not from her pack. This one came from the deep, forbidden woods that bordered the Alpha territories to the north. It was a sound that didn't just travel through the air. It vibrated through the ground, up through the soles of her worn boots, and settled deep in her bones. It was a sound of raw power, of profound loneliness, and of an ancient, aching pain. It wasn't a celebration, it was a demand, a summons. Ashley's breath hitched, a chill that had nothing to do with the night air tracing a path down her spine. The howl faded, but the echo of it seemed to whisper a name she'd never heard, yet somehow knew. Chapter 2. A Quiet Defiance. The unsettling howl from the previous night lingered in Ashley's mind like a phantom touch. It had disturbed the placid surface of her resignation, creating ripples of a strange, undefined yearning. She'd dreamt of silver eyes, luminous and intelligent, watching her from the shadows of a great forest. A voice, deep and rough like stones grinding together, had called her name, but not in mockery. It was a statement of fact. Moonless One. Waking up had felt like a fall, a return to a world that was gray and small. Because of this lingering feeling, her steps were heavy as she made her rounds near the edge of the woods, gathering fallen branches for firewood. Her pack's alpha, Marcus, was a hard man who valued strength above all, and his rules were as rigid as iron. Any sign of weakness was an invitation for punishment, and tenderness was the greatest weakness of all. That's why she froze when she heard it, a faint, high-pitched whimper, nearly lost beneath the rustle of leaves. Her eyes scanned the undergrowth, her heart giving a nervous little flutter. It was a sound of pure distress. She found him curled at the base of an ancient oak, a tiny ball of dark fur shivering uncontrollably. A pup. He couldn't be more than a few weeks old, his leg caught in the cruel teeth of a hunter's forgotten trap. His cries were weak, his energy fading. Panic flared in Ashley's chest. Alpha Marcus had a standing order. Any weak or injured pups found abandoned were to be left for nature to claim. It was the pack's way, cruel but simple. Survival of the fittest. Looking into the pup's terrified, trusting eyes, Ashley felt a surge of something hot and defiant. She saw herself in him, small, helpless, and discarded. This was a test, she realized. Not from her alpha, but from herself. Could she walk away? Could she obey the rule that had defined her own life as worthless? She thought of the cold dismissal in Alara's eyes, the crushing weight of her pack's judgment. Then she looked at the tiny creature whose only crime was being hurt. Her decision was made in a heartbeat. It wasn't a choice, really. It was a reflex. With trembling fingers, she worked at the rusty jaws of the trap. The metal was cold and unforgiving. The pup yelped as the pressure released, and she quickly scooped him into her arms, tucking him inside her worn leather jacket. He was so light, a fragile warmth against her chest. "Shh, little one," she whispered, her voice thick with an emotion she rarely allowed herself to feel. "I've got you." Smuggling him back to the stables was a risk that made her palms sweat. Every shadow seemed to hold a watchful eye. Every snap of a twig sounded like an accusation. She knew that if she were caught, the punishment would be severe. Marcus did not tolerate disobedience. Yet the pup's soft breathing against her ribs was a quiet rebellion she couldn't give up. This act of kindness felt more real than any pack law. That night, after tending to the pup's wounded leg with a gentle touch and a bit of scavenged cloth, she slept on a pile of hay near him. Her sleep was deep, and for once, not empty. The dream returned. The silver eyes were back, closer this time. They weren't angry or cold. They held a strange, consuming intensity. "Moonless One," the voice rumbled again, and this time it felt less like a name and more like a promise. A dark, possessive promise that scared her and thrilled her in equal measure. In the dream, she felt a pull toward those eyes, a sense of belonging she had never known in her waking life. The feeling was so powerful that it seemed to reach beyond the dream itself, hinting at a destiny she couldn't yet comprehend. Chapter 3, Fire and Lightning. The world ended in fire and screams. One moment, the night was still, holding the quiet peace of the coming dawn. The next, it was torn apart. Shouts erupted from the village square. The acrid smell of smoke, thick and choking, clawed at Ashley's throat as she bolted from the stables. Rival pack. The thought was a shard of ice in her gut. The Crimson Fang pack had been testing their borders for months, their aggression a constant snarling threat. Now, they had finally broken through. Orange flames licked at the sky, devouring the thatch roofs of the huts. The sounds of fighting were brutal and close. The wet tear of claws on flesh, the sickening crunch of bone, the roars of shifting wolves. Panic was a wild animal clawing at her insides. Her first instinct was to run, to hide. She was moonless, defenseless, a liability. But then a terrified yelp cut through the chaos. The pups. She had left the injured one and two others she was watching in the back of the stable. Without a second thought, she spun around and sprinted back into the burning structure. Smoke billowed out in a black cloud, stinging her eyes. "It's okay," she yelled, her voice raspy. "I'm here." She found them huddled in the corner, whimpering. Scooping them into her arms, she turned to flee. That's when a heavy, burning beam crashed down from the ceiling, blocking her exit and pinning her leg beneath its crushing weight. Pain, white hot and blinding, exploded up her calf. She screamed, struggling against the timber, but it wouldn't budge. The fire roared, a hungry beast closing in. The pups cried in her arms. "This is it," she thought, a wave of despair washing over her. "This is how I die, alone, nameless, a moonless girl in a burning barn." She closed her eyes, clutching the small warm bodies to her chest, offering them the only comfort she had left. Just as she surrendered to the inevitable darkness, the entire wall of the stable exploded inward. A shape, massive and terrifying, burst through the inferno, a silhouette against the raging flames. It wasn't a man. It wasn't a wolf. It was something more. A lycan. Taller than any man, built with the savage power of a god, covered in fur as black as a starless night. He moved with a speed that defied his size, a blur of primal fury. The crimson fang wolves that had cornered the barn scattered like leaves in a hurricane. This was a predator of a different order entirely, an alpha of alphas. The lycan turned, and the firelight caught in his eyes. They were silver, the same silver as her dreams, but now they burned with a terrifying real-life intensity. The world seemed to fall away. The roar of the fire, the sounds of battle, the pain in her leg. It all faded into a dull hum. There was only the immense, powerful creature standing before her, and the impossible recognition that struck her like lightning. He took a step closer, his gaze locked on hers. A low growl rumbled in his chest, a sound that vibrated not in her ears, but in her very soul. It was a sound of possession, of discovery, of a fate she never knew was waiting. His beast spoke, not with a voice, but with a thought that crashed into her mind with the force of a tidal wave, a single irrefutable word, "Mine." And then her world went black. Chapter 4. The Price of Salvation, Darkness, and Pain. Ashley's world was a splintered thing, a collection of terrifying sensations, the scent of pine and something wild, like a storm trapped in a bottle, the rough texture of fur against her cheek, a voice, a low, guttural rumble that seemed to shake the very air around her. She was moving, cradled against a body of impossible heat and power. Her leg was a universe of agony, a fire that consumed her from the inside out. Consciousness was a slippery fish, and she kept losing her grip. "No other way," the voice rasped, full of a self-loathing so profound it felt like a physical blow. "The wood was poisoned. It's in her blood." Ashley's eyelids fluttered. She was on the ground now, laid gently on a bed of cool moss. The colossal dark shape of the lycan loomed over her, his silver eyes glowing with a desperate, frantic light. He was no longer the incarnation of pure rage she'd seen in the stable. Now he was something far more terrifying. He was afraid. A creature of that magnitude should not know fear, yet it rolled off him in palpable waves. She tried to speak, to ask a question, but only a weak gasp escaped her lips. The world was tilting, the edges of her vision turning gray. "Forgive me," he whispered, and the sound was a prayer to a god he didn't believe in. He lowered his head. She saw the glint of teeth, impossibly long, impossibly sharp. A scream caught in her throat as a new searing pain eclipsed the fire in her leg. It was a puncture at the curve of her neck, a point of agonizing pressure that sent a shockwave through her entire body. It wasn't just a bite. It was an invasion. Something hot and electric poured into her veins, a liquid fire that warred with the poison already there. Her body convulsed, every nerve ending screaming. It felt like her very soul was being unwritten, her DNA torn apart and stitched back together in a new monstrous pattern. This was a violation far deeper than flesh. It was a rewriting of her essence, a branding of her spirit with his own formidable power. Then, as suddenly as it began, it was over. He pulled back with a choked sound, a strangled roar of regret. The fire in her veins didn't vanish. It settled, sinking into her marrow, a humming, alien energy that was now a part of her. The pain in her leg began to recede, replaced by a strange, tingling warmth. The fog in her mind cleared for a single, terrifying second. Before the darkness reclaimed her, her gaze fell upon a puddle of murky water nearby, its surface reflecting the burning forest around them. But it was her own reflection that stole her breath. Her eyes. They weren't hazel anymore. For a fleeting instant, they flickered. One iris turning the black of a bottomless pit, the other blazing with the same impossible, terrifying silver as the creature who had just damned her to save her. Chapter 5. A Gilded Cage. Ashley woke up to the scent of lavender and old stone. The agonizing pain that had been her entire world was now just a dull, distant ache. She was lying in a bed so large it felt like a field, the sheets softer than anything she had ever touched. A fire crackled gently in a massive stone hearth across the room, casting dancing shadows on tapestries that depicted ancient, wolf-like beasts hunting under a blood-red moon. Sunlight streamed through a tall, arched window, illuminating the dust motes dancing in the air. This place was a fortress, a castle pulled from a forgotten age, a gilded cage. She sat up, her movements stiff. Her leg was wrapped in clean white bandages, and when she dared to touch it, she felt the skin beneath was already knitting itself back together. It was unnatural, impossible. And then she felt it. A hum, a low-frequency vibration under her skin, like a second heartbeat that wasn't her own. It was a tether, an invisible string that pulled her awareness toward a singular presence somewhere else in this fortress. Him. The connection was undeniable, a foreign energy woven into her own that made her feel both invaded and seen. For the first time in her life, she didn't feel invisible. And it was terrifying. She had to get out of here. Her motivation was simple, pure survival. She swung her legs over the side of the bed, testing her weight on her injured limb. It held. The heavy wooden door opened without a sound. He stood there, no longer a beast of nightmare, but a man. A dangerously handsome man, tall and broad-shouldered, with night black hair that fell over a sharp aristocratic face. But his eyes, they were the same. A piercing, luminous silver that seemed to look right through her. He was dressed in simple black trousers and a tunic, but he wore an aura of power like a king wears a crown. "You're awake," he said. His voice was the same deep rumble, but smoother now, controlled. "Where am I?" Ashley demanded, her own voice shaking slightly. She hated that she sounded weak. "My fortress. You are safe here." "Safe?" She let out a humorless laugh. "You beast, you bit me." The memory was a hot flash of pain and violation. "What did you do to me?" He walked into the room, his presence filling the space, making it hard to breathe. He stopped a few feet away, his expression an unreadable mask of stone. "I saved your life. The wound was fatal. My blood burned out the poison." He said it like it was a simple transaction, a medical procedure. He was lying, and they both knew it. The hum between them was not a side effect. It was the entire point. "I feel You, she whispered, hating the admission. It's like you're in my head. It will fade, he lied again, his jaw tight. It was an accident, a necessary risk. Liar, she breathed. She saw a flicker of something in his eyes. Anger? Pain? Who are you? I am Alaric, he said, the name sounding like a judgment. He took another step, and the pull between them intensified, a magnetic force she had to physically resist. Her gaze dropped to her wrist, where a strange, tingling sensation had begun. Faintly, as if drawn in moonlight, a new mark was appearing on her skin. It was a delicate, swirling sigil, a spiral of silver that seemed to glow with a faint inner light. She had never seen it before, but when she looked up at Alaric, the blood had drained from his face. He stared at the mark not with confusion, but with a dawning, soul-deep horror. Chapter 6. The Alpha's Claim. Before Ashley could demand what the glowing sigil on her wrist meant, the heavy doors to the chamber were flung open. Two figures strode in, their presence ancient and cold as winter stone. They were elders, a man and a woman, with hair like spun silver and eyes that held the chilling wisdom of centuries. They wore dark formal robes embroidered with the crescent moon, and they moved with an authority that made even Alaric stiffen. The Lycan Council. The hum of their power was different from Alaric's. It was brittle, judgmental, and utterly without mercy. The elder woman, her face a web of fine lines, fixed her cold, black eyes on Ashley. The abomination lives, she stated, her voice like the crack of ice. You were ordered to destroy any trace of the Crimson Fang attack, Alaric, not bring home a stray. The man spoke next, his voice a dry rustle of leaves. Worse, you have bitten her. A moonless girl. You have polluted a human with our blood. It is a desecration of the highest order. She must be purified. Purified. The word hung in the air, clinical and deadly. Ashley knew what it meant. Execution, fear, cold and sharp, pierced through her defiance. These were the lawmakers of their kind, and she was an anomaly that needed to be erased. She looked to Alaric, her heart pounding against her ribs. What would he do? Would he hand her over to them? Alaric moved, placing himself squarely between Ashley and the elders. His shoulders were broad, a living shield. She is under my protection, he said, his voice dropping to a low, dangerous growl. She is mine. The woman, Syra, let out a disdainful hiss. Yours? You would claim this thing as your mate? This hollow vessel? You shame your bloodline. The air crackled with tension. Ashley could feel the raw power rolling off Alaric, a barely contained storm. She watched as his jaw clenched, his silver eyes turning hard as diamonds. He was their alpha, their leader, but even he had to answer to the council's ancient laws. He was trapped. And in that moment, Ashley understood that any sign of affection he showed her, any hint of the bond humming between them, would be seen as a weakness. They would use her to destroy him. His decision came with brutal speed. He turned his head slightly, his silver gaze flicking over Ashley with a look of cold, calculated dismissal. Mate, he scoffed, the sound sharp and cruel. Do not mistake necessity for sentiment. The Crimson Fangs nearly overran a pack on my borders. I took a captive. She is a spoil of war, a tool, nothing more. Each word was a physical blow. A tool. A captive. It was the story of her entire life, amplified and delivered by the one person who had made her feel, for a fleeting moment, like she mattered. The bond between them recoiled, a wounded thing. Tears pricked at her eyes, hot with humiliation, and a pain so sharp it stole her breath. He had saved her life only to annihilate her spirit. The elders considered his words, their expressions unreadable. Finally, the male elder, Kale, gave a curt nod. Very well. A captive is your right. But watch her, Alaric. If she shows any sign of instability, any hint of the curse you carry reacting to her, we will put her down ourselves. With a final, withering glare at Ashley, they turned and swept from the room. The silence they left behind was heavy and suffocating. Ashley trembled, wrapping her arms around herself. She stared at Alaric, her heart a shattered mess in her chest. "You did that to control me," she whispered, her voice cracking. "To put me in a cage." Alaric finally turned to face her fully, and the mask of indifference was gone. His face was a canvas of raw agony, his silver eyes filled with a torment that mirrored her own. "No," he said, his voice rough with a pain that ripped the words from his throat. "I did that because I couldn't let you die." Chapter 7. A Voice in the Blood. The fortress was a silent, sprawling tomb. Ashley spent her days in a state of suspended disbelief, caught between the memory of Alaric's agonizing rejection and the undeniable, humming reality of the bond that connected them. His words had built a wall between them, but the bond was a current that flowed right through it, a constant reminder of the truth he tried so desperately to deny. She was his. He was hers. It was a terrifying, infuriating fact. She felt his moods like shifts in the weather, a distant rumble of anger when the council elders visited, a profound wave of melancholy that rolled in during the dead of night. He kept his distance, leaving trays of food outside her door, a phantom warden in his own castle. Because of this isolation, she had nothing but time. Time to feel the strange new energy coiling in her muscles, time to notice the unnerving quickness of her healing, and time to dread the changes she couldn't yet see. The first change came without warning. She was standing by the tall, arched window, gazing out at the endless, dark sea of pine trees that surrounded the fortress like a besieging army. A wave of frustration washed over her, at her helplessness, at her confusion, at him. A low growl vibrated in her chest, a sound she had never made before. Her head snapped up in shock, her hand flying to her throat. Where did that come from? Then the pain hit. It was a sharp, searing agony that started in her hands. She cried out, stumbling back from the window and collapsing onto a plush rug. She stared at her fingers in horror as they began to twitch and contort. A sound like walnuts cracking filled the silent room. Her bones were shifting, lengthening. Her nails thickened, darkening to a glossy black before extending into wicked, curved claws. Panic seized her, cold and absolute. This wasn't right. This wasn't the glorious transformation the pack stories spoke of. This was a violation, a monstrous twisting of her own body against her will. She tried to scream, but her throat was tight with terror. "Calm, child." The voice wasn't hers. It echoed in the chambers of her mind, feminine and ancient, woven from instinct and moonlight. It was a whisper that felt more real than the stone walls around her. "Breathe. This is your awakening." "Who are you?" Ashley gasped, clutching her head as she stared at the monstrous claws that were, impossibly, her own hands. "I am the song the moon tried to bury. I am the silence that is finally learning to scream. I am you." It was the wolf, her wolf. A creature she was never meant to have, born from a cursed bite. The voice wasn't gentle or kind. It was wild, powerful, and utterly unapologetic. It was everything Ashley had never allowed herself to be. As she watched, mesmerized and terrified, her hands slowly, painfully, began to shrink back to their normal shape, the claws receding into her fingernails. She was left panting on the floor, her body trembling with adrenaline and fear. She was no longer just Ashley Vale, the moonless girl. She was something else. Something new. A hybrid. An impossibility. The wolf's presence lingered in her mind, a quiet, watchful energy. It offered no comfort, only a single cryptic thought that wrapped around her heart like a thorny vine. "He is both your curse and your cure." Chapter 8. The Language of Touch. 2 days later, Alaric appeared at her door. The trays of food had stopped being a peace offering and started to feel like an insult. He stood there, his silver eyes missing nothing, his face a mask of stern indifference. Ashley met his gaze with a defiance born of her newfound terror. She would not be his docile prisoner. She now had a monster under her skin, and it made her brave. "Your instability is a risk," he said, his voice clipped and formal. "You have no control. You will learn it." It wasn't a request. It was a command. He led her not to the opulent library or the sun-drenched gardens, but down winding stone stairs to a vast open-air courtyard. The air was cool and smelled of damp earth and steel. Racks of practice weapons lined one wall, their wooden surfaces scarred with the marks of countless battles. This was his world, a place of discipline and violence. He intended to tame the chaos he had unleashed inside her. The thought was so infuriatingly arrogant that a growl rumbled in her chest again. He heard it. A muscle in his jaw twitched. The lesson was a disaster. He thrust a heavy wooden staff into her hands. "Defend yourself." She was clumsy. The staff was awkward, and her body, thrumming with a strange new energy, refused to obey her old commands. She lunged when she should have parried, her movements jerky and desperate. He disarmed her with infuriating ease time and time again. He was a blur of controlled grace, his every move economical and deadly. He didn't even seem to be trying. "Your anger makes you sloppy," he criticized, his voice a low baritone that echoed off the stone walls. "You are fighting yourself more than you are fighting me." "You know nothing about me," she shot back, her frustration boiling over. She swung the staff wildly, a desperate, hopeless attack. He caught the weapon, his hand closing over the wood just inches from hers, and then, to stop her momentum, his other hand landed on her waist. The contact was electric. A bolt of lightning shot through her, silencing the angry retort on her lips. The bond between them, a constant low hum, roared to life. It was a tidal wave of sensation, of connection, so powerful it made her knees weak. It wasn't just his touch. It was a sudden, shocking flood of him into her mind. She felt a flash of his crushing loneliness, a deep, aching guilt that was a raw and open wound, and beneath it all, a fierce, desperate protectiveness directed at her. He felt it too. His silver eyes widened, the mask of cold control shattering into a million pieces. He looked at her, truly looked at her, and she saw not a king or an alpha, but a man drowning in a pain he couldn't share. He snatched his hands back as if her skin had burned him, taking a stumbling step away. The air in the courtyard was suddenly thick and heavy, charged with an energy that had nothing to do with combat. The lesson was over. A new one, far more dangerous, had just begun. The space between them was no longer empty. It was filled with a trembling, unspoken question. Chapter 9, Whispers of Prophecy. The training sessions became their new language, a brutal ballet of advance and retreat, of attack and defense, that allowed them to be close without having to speak of the charged energy that now crackled between them. Yet, the fortress still felt like a prison, and Ashley's curiosity, now sharpened by the wolf's instincts, grew restless. One evening, drawn by a pull she couldn't explain, she found herself walking silently down a dark, unfamiliar corridor. The stone walls seemed to whisper secrets, and the ancient tapestries watched her with faded, woven eyes. She heard voices ahead, drifting from a partially open doorway. The cold, brittle tones of the council elders and Alaric. She flattened herself against the wall, her heart beginning to pound. She knew she shouldn't listen, but she couldn't stop herself. "Is unacceptable," Syra was saying, her voice sharp. "She grows stronger. The bond deepens. She is a risk you cannot afford." "The risk is managed." Alaric's voice was a low, dangerous rumble. "Managed," Kyle scoffed. "Don't be a fool. You know what you are. You know what the Blood Moon does to you. That curse you carry will find a purchase in her, and she will be the weapon that finally destroys us all. She is a spark, and you are a barrel of gunpowder." "A curse? The Blood Moon?" Ashley pressed her ear closer, her breath held tight in her chest. What were they talking about? She is my responsibility, Alaric stated, his tone leaving no room for argument. Then you will end it, Syra commanded. Before she becomes a threat too great to contain, we will not allow a moonless abomination to bring ruin upon this house. Ashley's blood ran cold. She expected Alaric to acquiesce, to agree with their cold logic. She braced herself for the inevitable betrayal. Instead, the silence that followed was more terrifying than any shout. When Alaric finally spoke, his voice was so soft, so laced with lethal promise, that it made the hair on Ashley's arms stand on end. Listen to me very carefully, both of you, he began, the words spaced out, each one a perfectly weighted stone. You will not speak to her. You will not look at her. And if either of you ever dares to touch a single hair on her head, I will burn the Lycan Council to the ground and salt the earth where it stood. The threat was absolute, undeniable. He was protecting her. In the shadows, away from her sight, he was her fiercest champion. A strange, confusing warmth spread through Ashley's chest. It felt dangerously like hope. Syra let out a furious hiss. You would choose this mistake? Over your duty? Over your own survival? Have you forgotten the prophecy, you fool? It is a forgotten myth, Alaric snarled. Myths are born from truth, Kale shot back. And the words are clear. The Moonless One shall love the Alpha who destroys her. You are condemning her and yourself to a fate written in the stars. Ashley clapped a hand over her mouth, stifling a gasp. The prophecy, a death sentence, and it had her name on it. She shrank back into the shadows as the elders swept from the room, their faces masks of cold fury. She was left alone in the dark hallway, the chilling words echoing in her mind. She was bound to an alpha with a deadly curse. She was protected by a man who publicly denied her. And now, she was the centerpiece of a prophecy that promised her love would be her ruin. Chapter 10. The Beast in the Red Moonlight. The prophecy was a ghost that haunted the stone halls of the fortress, its whispers following Ashley into every room. The Alpha who destroys her. She saw the words every time she looked at Alaric. He was more attentive now, the cold mask of the Alpha cracking to reveal glimpses of the tormented man beneath. He would watch her during their training sessions, his silver eyes holding a mixture of awe and a terrible, deep-seated fear. He was afraid of the prophecy. But what Ashley was beginning to understand was that he was even more afraid of himself. The proof of that fear arrived with the rising of the blood moon. It started as a faint reddish tinge on the horizon, a bloody omen in the evening sky. But Ashley felt its approach long before she saw it. Through the bond, a new kind of agony began to bleed from Alaric. It was a frantic, clawing terror, the feeling of a mind being torn apart from the inside. This was his curse. This was the beast the council feared. Her wolf, the new voice in her blood, stirred with a primal unease. It recognized this raw, untamed magic and knew it to be a destructive force. Driven by a desperate need to understand, she followed the thrum of his pain through the fortress. It led her down a flight of stairs she'd never seen before, into the very bowels of the castle. She found him in a circular stone chamber, the walls thick and scored with ancient claw marks. Heavy silver chains, their surfaces gleaming dully, hung from the walls. He was shirtless, his back a roadmap of old scars, and he was methodically locking a heavy silver cuff around his own wrist. He was preparing to imprison himself. Get out, he snarled when he saw her, not even turning around. His voice was a ragged edge of pain. Ashley, leave. Now. I felt your pain, she said, her own voice soft but firm. She took a step into the room. I'm not leaving you. You cannot be here, he finally roared, spinning to face her. His eyes were no longer silver. They were beginning to burn with a dangerous ruby light. Sweat beaded on his forehead, his entire body tense with the effort of control. This moon, it unchains the worst parts of me. The part that killed my first mate, the beast that the prophecy speaks of. It will not know you. It will only know hunger and rage. The story was a confession torn from his soul, a backstory she never expected. The transformation was not a graceful shift. It was a gruesome, agonizing spectacle. He screamed, a sound of pure torture as his bones began to break and reform, his body twisting into a monstrous new shape. Black fur sprouted across his skin, and his form grew, swelling with a terrifying power. This was not the majestic lichen who had saved her. This was something else. A creature of pure, unadulterated rage, driven by the curse in its blood. Its red eyes, devoid of reason, landed on her. A guttural snarl ripped from its throat, a promise of violence. It was the monster that would destroy her. But the wolf inside Ashley whispered a different truth. He is in pain, not angry. He is lost in a sea of fire. Instead of running, she stood her ground. The beast lunged, not at her, but at the chains, tearing at them with a mindless fury. As it raged, its monstrous head swinging wildly, she saw her chance. She stepped forward. Her heart hammered against her ribs, a frantic drum of terror. Ignoring every instinct screaming at her to flee, she slowly raised a trembling hand. "Alaric," she whispered. The beast froze, its rampage cut short. It turned its massive head, its glowing red eyes fixing on her. It was so close she could feel the heat radiating from its body. It let out a low, warning growl. She didn't flinch. She reached out and gently, so gently, laid her palm against the side of its furred face. The fur was coarse, hot, and vibrating with a deadly power. The monster went utterly still. The red in its eyes flickered, and for a heartbeat, a flash of pure silver returned. It recognized her. A low, confused whimper escaped its throat, and the great, terrifying beast leaned into her touch, bowing its head in submission. Chapter 11. A Bite for a Bite. The beast was on its knees, but the war was not over. Alaric was still trapped inside, his humanity a flickering candle in a hurricane of cursed energy. Ashley could feel it through her palm, a chaotic, burning power that was tearing him apart. The submission of the beast was temporary, the agony driving it was not. He was still lost, and if she let go, the monster would reemerge, more violent than before because of the shame of its brief surrender. Her own wolf, the quiet voice in her blood, spoke with a sudden, startling clarity. It wasn't a suggestion. It was an instinct. The curse is a river of fire with no sea to flow into. It will burn him to ashes. You must become the sea. It was a mad thought, a terrifying one. But it felt right. It was a truth that resonated deep in her bones, in the new parts of her that he had awakened. She looked at the creature before her, a god of destruction brought low, and she felt no fear, only a fierce, consuming love that was more powerful than any prophecy. She knew what she had to do. This was her purpose. This was why the moon goddess had left her empty for so long, to prepare her for this very moment. She was a vessel, waiting to be filled. Leaning forward, she ignored the beast's startled growl. She pressed her lips to the hot, furred skin of its brow for a fleeting second, before moving lower. "A bite for a bite," she whispered against his shoulder. "A debt for a debt." And with a surge of desperate resolve, she bit down. If his bite had been fire, hers was water. The moment her teeth broke the skin, a shockwave of pure incandescent light exploded through the chamber. It was not a physical light, but a spiritual one, a force that erupted from the point of their connection, slamming into the stone walls. A torrent of raw, corrupted energy, the very essence of his curse, poured out of him and into her. It was a river of pain, of centuries of accumulated rage and grief. It rushed into her, seeking to destroy her as it had destroyed him, but it found nothing to burn. Her moonless state, the emptiness that had been her lifelong shame, was her greatest strength. She was a void. The curse flooded into her, and instead of finding fuel, it found a vast, calming emptiness. Her wolf, born of his blood, acted as a filter, a conduit that absorbed the raw power and grounded it, rendering it harmless. The connection was a soul-deep fusion, a breaking and remaking of them both. They were no longer two separate beings bound by fate. They were two halves of a single damaged whole finally coming together. The red light in the beast's eyes extinguished, replaced entirely by the pure, brilliant silver of his true self. The monstrous form seemed to dissolve, melting away until Alaric lay in his human form on the cold stone floor, naked and trembling. He was weak, exhausted, but he was lucid. The agony was gone. He stared up at her, his expression one of profound, earth-shattering shock. He reached out a shaky hand, tracing the spot on her neck where he had bitten her so long ago. He understood. She had not just calmed the beast. She had healed a part of the curse itself. The power dynamic between them had irrevocably shifted. She was no longer a victim, a captive, or a mistake. She was his savior, his cure. Overwhelmed by a tidal wave of gratitude, of awe, of a love that defied curses and prophecies, he pulled her down to him. Their first kiss was not gentle or tender. It was a collision, a desperate, hungry claiming, a raw expression of everything they had survived. It was the taste of ozone after a lightning strike, the feel of solid ground after a shipwreck. And as their lips met, a single terrifying thought passed between them through the bond. This love wouldn't destroy them. It might just destroy everything else. Chapter 12, The Silver Creed. The backlash was immediate and absolute. What happened in that chamber did not stay secret for long. The very magic of the fortress seemed to hum with the change in its master, a shift in power so profound that it sent ripples through the supernatural world. The Lycan Council felt it. They arrived not with arguments this time, but with soldiers. They stood in the grand hall of the fortress, their faces masks of cold fury. Shira and Kale were there, but they were flanked by a dozen new figures, wolves dressed in silver inlaid armor, their eyes holding the flat, merciless glare of zealots. Their scent was different, cold, sterile, and utterly without passion. "You have committed the ultimate heresy," Kale announced, his voice ringing with grim finality. "You have allowed an abomination to tamper with the sacred curse of your bloodline." "She is not an abomination," Alaric growled, stepping in front of Ashley. He was dressed now, and the weakness from the blood moon was gone, replaced by a calm, lethal authority she had never seen before. "She is the cure," Syra let out a sharp, ugly laugh. "The cure? She is a disease, a moonless witch who has bewitched our Alpha. You are a traitor, Alaric, and she must be purged. The Silver Creed will see it done." The Silver Creed. The name sent a chill down Ashley's spine. These were not just pack warriors. These were hunters. Exterminators. An ancient order dedicated to eliminating any threat to the purity of the shifter race. The Council, in their blind fear of what Ashley represented, had unleashed the fanatics who had been waiting in the shadows for centuries. They had traded a political problem for a holy war, and Ashley was the heretic they intended to burn. There was no more room for negotiation. The first hunter moved, a blur of silver and steel. The great hall exploded into a chaotic symphony of violence. Alaric met the charge with a roar, his own power erupting like a physical force, sending the first wave of attackers flying. Ashley, who would have once cowered in a corner, felt a strange calm settle over her. The wolf inside her was not afraid. It was ready. When a Creed hunter lunged at her from the side, she didn't think. She reacted. Her hand shot out, her fingers elongating into claws, and she raked them across the warrior's chest, her movements guided by a lethal instinct she didn't know she possessed. They fought side by side, a seamless dance of savage power and newfound deadly grace. He was a storm, and she was the lightning that struck from its heart. But they were outnumbered. For every hunter they took down, two more took their place. "We have to leave," Alaric yelled over the din, grabbing her arm. "The fortress is lost." They fled through the chaos, breaking through a tapestry and escaping down a secret passage Alaric had never shown her. They ran for what felt like hours, the sounds of the hunt echoing behind them. Finally, they emerged into the cold night miles away from the castle. They stood on a ridge, the wind whipping at their clothes, and looked back. The fortress, her gilded cage and his ancestral home, was just a dark silhouette against the moonlit sky. It was no longer theirs. They were fugitives now, hunted by their own kind. "They'll hunt us to the ends of the earth," Ashley said, her voice quiet but steady. The fear was there, but it was overshadowed by a strange sense of freedom. Alaric turned to look at her, his silver eyes glowing with an emotion so fierce and profound it took her breath away. It was not the look of a king for his captive. It was the look of a man for his equal, his partner, his salvation. "Let them," he said, his voice a low, unbreakable vow. "If fate wants you dead, she'll have to take me first." Chapter 13. The Song of the Silent Wolf. The mountains were a kingdom of stone and silence. They had found refuge in a shallow cave carved into the face of a cliff, a hidden sanctuary overlooking a valley of clouds. The air up here was thin and sharp, smelling of cold rock and the distant promise of snow. For the first time since their flight from the fortress, they were not running. They were simply being. This stark, desolate beauty was a perfect mirror for their existence. Isolated, dangerous, but also magnificent and free. They were two souls against the entire world, and in that shared solitude, a new kind of intimacy began to grow, fragile and precious as a winter rose. But peace was a luxury. The power inside Ashley was a wild, untamed thing. Her wolf, the voice in her blood, was no longer a whisper. It was a constant, urgent presence, pressing against the confines of her humanity, begging for release. But she was afraid. The memory of her bones breaking, of her body twisting into a shape she didn't recognize, was a visceral terror she couldn't shake. She was scared of the monster she might become, scared of the very power that was supposed to be her birthright. Alaric watched her struggle, his silver eyes missing nothing. The dynamic between them had changed completely. He was no longer the stern alpha demanding control. He was a patient guide, a gentle teacher who understood the terrifying wilderness she now carried inside her. "You cannot fight it, Ashley," he said one afternoon, his voice a low murmur that didn't disturb the vast silence. "It is a part of you. Your wolf was not born of the moon, so she does not have to obey the moon's rules. You must write your own." He led her to a wide, flat ledge of rock that jutted out over the valley. "You are afraid of the pain," he stated, not as a criticism, but as a fact. "But the pain is only there because you are resisting. Let go. Trust her. Trust yourself." Closing her eyes, Ashley took a deep breath of the freezing air. She reached inside, not with fear, but with a hesitant curiosity. She touched the coiled energy of the wolf, and instead of pushing it down, she surrendered. The transformation was an eruption. It was pain, yes, a blinding, tearing agony, but it was also a glorious, exhilarating release. Her human limits shattered. She felt her body lengthen, her senses explode. The world was no longer just a picture. It was a symphony of scents on the wind, a vibration in the rock beneath her paws, a tapestry of life she had never before perceived. When she opened her eyes, the world was different, sharper. She looked down and saw not hands, but powerful forepaws covered in fur as black as a moonless midnight. She was a wolf, but she was not like the others from her pack. She was sleeker, a creature of shadow and grace, and when she caught her reflection in a shard of ice, she saw that her wolf eyes were not gold or blue, but the same piercing, impossible silver as the man who now watched her with reverence. Later, after she had shifted back, they lay by a small fire, her body humming with a newfound sense of wholeness. She felt complete for the first time in her life. She looked at Alaric, at the awe and tenderness in his expression. "Were you ever afraid of me?" she asked, her voice barely a whisper. "Of what I could become." He reached out, his fingers gently tracing the glowing sigil on her wrist. His touch was warm, certain. "No," he said, his voice thick with an emotion he no longer tried to hide. "I'm not afraid of your power. I'm afraid of losing you." Chapter 14, A Promise Under the Blood Moon. Alaric's confession was the final key, unlocking the last door between them. His fear wasn't of her, or the prophecy, or even his own curse anymore. It was the simple, profoundly human fear of life without her. In that moment, he was not a cursed alpha or a fugitive king. He was just a man, vulnerable and exposed, offering her the broken, beautiful pieces of his heart. The raw honesty of it shattered the last of her own defenses. The tension that had simmered between them for weeks, a dangerous current of forbidden desire, finally, inevitably, reached its breaking point. He leaned in, and this time, there was no hesitation, no holding back. His kiss was a slow, deliberate claiming, a stark contrast to the desperate collision in the chamber. It was a promise. It was worship. He tasted of the cold mountain air and the fire that kept them warm. Ashley melted into him, her hands tangling in his dark hair, answering his silent promise with her own. This was not just passion, it was surrender. She was giving herself to the man who was both her creator and her destiny. And for the first time, she wasn't afraid of where that path would lead. Their coming together was an act of quiet defiance against the world that hunted them. It was a tender, desperate affirmation of life in the face of a prophesied death. In the flickering firelight of their hidden cave, they shed their titles: Alpha, Moonless, Fugitive, Heretic. They were only Ashley and Alaric, two lost souls who had found their anchor in each other. Every touch was a discovery, every whispered word a confession. For him, it was an act of letting go, of allowing himself the love he believed he was fated to destroy. For her, it was the ultimate act of claiming her own worth, of believing she was deserving of this fierce, all-consuming devotion. It was a healing, a home. Afterward, they lay tangled in furs, watching the flames dance. A profound peace settled over Ashley, a feeling of rightness that resonated in her very soul. But as the fire dwindled to glowing embers, a new light began to fill the mouth of the cave, a soft crimson glow. Ashley sat up, her heart giving a nervous lurch. The blood moon, it was back. She looked at Alaric in alarm, but he remained calm, his expression serene. He felt no pain, no rage. The curse, muted and tamed by her presence, was silent. They had won. But then a sharp, burning sensation erupted on her wrist. Ashley cried out, clutching her arm. The silver sigil, the mark Alaric's bite had left on her, was no longer a gentle shimmer. It was blazing with a fiery, blood-red light, pulsing in time with her heartbeat. It felt like a brand being seared into her skin. Alaric sat up, his face paling with a dawning horror. The air grew thick, heavy with an ancient, awakening magic. The prophecy. It wasn't about his curse. It had never been about his curse. The bond between them, now fully forged and consummated under the light of the blood moon, hadn't defied their fate. It had just triggered the real one. The red light from her wrist pulsed outwards, a silent beacon in the night, and they both knew, with a certainty that was colder than any mountain wind, that they hadn't escaped anything at all. They had just lit the signal for their own destruction.
Chapter 15. The Price of a Name. The attack came at dawn. There was no warning, no sound of approaching footsteps. One moment, the world was gray and silent. The next, it was filled with the glint of silver and the snarls of hunters. The Silver Creed had found them. The glowing mark on Ashley's wrist had been a beacon, a flare of their own making that had guided their enemies straight to their door. They were surrounded, a dozen Creed hunters emerging from the rocks like phantoms, their movements silent and deadly. The battle was a desperate, chaotic frenzy. Alaric was a whirlwind of black fur and righteous fury, his lichen form a bulwark against the tide of silver blades. Ashley fought at his side, her own dark wolf a blur of shadow and claws. They were a formidable pair, their movements perfectly in sync, their bond a silent language on the battlefield. But the Creed were relentless. They were fanatics, driven by a cold, unwavering purpose. For everyone they struck down, another took its place, their silver weapons chipping away at their defenses. How had they known this exact spot? How had they organized so quickly? The answer came as a devastating blow, worse than any silver blade. A figure stepped through the ranks of the Creed, his face pale and set. It was Liam, a young Beta from her old pack, someone who had always offered her a shy smile or a kind word when no one else would. He was the closest thing she'd ever had to a friend. He was wearing the silver inlaid armor of the Creed. The betrayal was a physical shock, a punch to the gut that stole her breath. "Liam?" she gasped, her voice cracking. "Why?" "They said you were a witch, Ashley," he said, his voice trembling. He wouldn't meet her eyes. "They showed me what you did to the Alpha, that you twisted his mind. They said you were a blight, and they promised to protect my family if I helped them find you. I was trying to save us." His words shattered the last fragile link to the life she'd left behind. It wasn't malice that had driven him. It was fear. The same fear that had kept her silent and invisible for so long. While Alaric was occupied with a hulking brute of a hunter, another Creed warrior saw an opening. He lunged at Ashley, his silver sword a blur aimed straight for her heart. She was off balance, reeling from Liam's betrayal, and she knew she wouldn't be able to dodge in time. But Liam moved faster. With a cry of pure anguish, he threw himself in front of her. The silver blade intended for Ashley slid deep into his chest. A look of stunned surprise crossed his face, followed by a grim acceptance. He collapsed into her arms, the life already fading from his eyes. The Creed hunter stared in shock at his own handiwork, a momentary hesitation that Alaric used to end him. Ashley knelt on the cold ground, cradling Liam as he choked, blood staining his lips. His sacrifice had bought them only a few precious seconds. "Why?" she whispered again, tears streaming down her face. He looked up at her, his gaze finally clear of fear and filled with a profound, heartbreaking regret. "I was a coward," he coughed, his voice a faint rattle. "I always was. I wanted them to see you the way I always did, not as moonless, but as the moon itself." His eyes glazed over and his body went limp. The final words hung in the air, a tragic confession that offered no comfort, only a deeper pain. His sacrifice was a testament to a love he'd never had the courage to speak, and it left Ashley and Alaric surrounded by enemies, with the circle of silver blades closing in.
Chapter 16. The Gilded Cage Revisited. The world dissolved into a nightmare of chaos and loss. Liam's last breath was a ghost on Ashley's cheek, and then she was being hauled to her feet, the cold, unforgiving links of a silver net thrown over her. The metal seared her skin, a thousand points of white-hot fire that didn't just burn her flesh but seemed to poison the very magic inside her. Her wolf cried out, a silent scream of agony in her mind as its newfound power sizzled and died under the silver's touch. She looked for Alaric and saw a force of nature being brought to its knees. He was surrounded, fighting with the fury of a cornered god, but for every hunter he threw aside, three more swarmed him. Through the maelstrom, Syra appeared, her ancient face a mask of cold triumph. "It is over," she said, her voice devoid of all emotion. "He is still our Alpha. We will not kill him, but we will remind him of his place." She gestured to the hunters holding Ashley. "We will break his spirit by breaking his pet." Her words were a death sentence of a different kind. They weren't going to kill her. They were going to use her as a weapon against the man she loved. As they began to drag her away, her desperate eyes found Alaric's. He saw the silver net, saw the burns rising on her skin, saw the triumphant look on Syra's face. And in that instant, something inside him shattered. The calm, controlled power he had fought so hard to master, the peace she had given him, was ripped away. A roar of pure, unadulterated agony tore from his throat. It was not the sound of the controlled Alpha, but the sound of the cursed beast. The bond between them, which had been a channel for love and strength, became a conduit for his torment. Ashley felt his control snap like a dry twig. The curse, the terrible, consuming rage she had absorbed and quieted, reawakened with a vengeance. It wasn't the moon that summoned it this time. It was her pain. It was his love for her, twisted into an instrument of his own destruction. The silver in his eyes was consumed by a burning, blood-red tide. The prophecy was coming true, but in the cruelest way imaginable. His love for her wasn't leading him to kill her. It was the catalyst that was destroying him, unchaining the monster he feared more than anything in the world. They dragged her away, back towards the fortress that had once been her prison and was about to become her tomb. Her last sight was of Alaric, no longer a king fighting for his queen, but a mindless beast of pure destruction, roaring her name to the uncaring sky as he was finally overwhelmed by the hunters of the Silver Creed. Hope was not just lost. It had never existed at all. Chapter 17, The Breaking of a Bond. The opulence of the fortress was a mockery. They didn't return her to the grand chamber with its soft bed and crackling fire. They threw her into the dungeons. The air was thick with the smell of mildew and despair, the only light a sliver of gray from a high barred window. They chained her to the wall with the same silver that had subdued her, the metal a constant agonizing burn against her skin. Her wolf was a wounded, whimpering thing in the back of her mind, its power smothered, its voice a faint whisper of pain. This was a cage of a different kind, one designed not just to hold her body, but to crush her soul. The torture was an exercise in cold, calculated cruelty. Sira and Kale did not want to break her bones. They wanted to break the bond. They would press silver blades to her skin, not to cut, but to send waves of searing, magical agony through her. And with every cry that was torn from Ashley's lips, she felt an echo of it across the bond, a surge of mindless, bestial rage from Alaric. They were holding him somewhere else in the fortress, and her suffering was the fuel for his madness. "Listen," Syra would whisper, her voice a dry rustle in the gloom as a distant, echoing roar shook the foundations of the dungeon. "That is the sound of your love. The great Alpha Alaric, a king of our people, reduced to a rabid animal in a cage. All for a moonless stray who was never meant to exist." Every word was a poison dart, finding its mark in the deepest parts of her insecurity. They were right. Her existence, her love, had brought nothing but ruin. She had seen the humanity in him, and in her desperate attempt to save it, she had only succeeded in burying it completely. The prophecy twisted in her mind, its words a taunting rhyme. "The moonless one shall love the Alpha who destroys her." She finally understood. It wasn't that he would strike the killing blow. It was that her love itself was the weapon of her destruction, and his. As long as she lived, as long as this bond of agony connected them, he would be a monster. He would fight and rage until the Silver Creed finally put him down like the mad dog he had become. A strange, terrifying calm began to settle over her. Her despair turned into a singular, tragic purpose. The wolf inside her whined, begging her to fight, to survive, to hold on. It was a creature of instinct, and its only instinct was life. But Ashley's human heart, the heart that had fallen in love with a cursed king, knew a different truth. There was only one way to break the feedback loop. There was only one way to silence the beast and save the man. She had to sever the bond. And the bond was life. Her life. A terrible peace washed over her, cold and clear as the mountain air. She knew what she had to do. She looked up at Syra, her eyes no longer filled with fear, but with a resolve that was as unbreakable as stone. "If our love cursed him," she thought, the words a silent prayer and a final solemn vow, "then my death will be what sets him free." Chapter 18, A Song for the Moon. The dungeon door exploded inward, ripped from its hinges by a force of pure, primal fury. Alaric stood there, framed by the dust and splintered wood. He was in his beast form, a creature of nightmare and red-tinged rage, his body crisscrossed with fresh wounds from the silver blades of his captors. He had broken free. His red eyes, devoid of all reason, scanned the room and fixed on Sira and Kale, who stood over Ashley's chained form. A roar of apocalyptic fury built in his chest, a promise to tear them limb from limb, even if it was the last thing he ever did. This was her moment, her final choice. "Alaric," she said, her voice cutting through his rage. It was quiet, but it was clear, and it made the beast pause for a single crucial heartbeat. With a surge of strength born from her absolute resolve, Ashley pulled against her chains. The silver shackle on her right wrist dug deep, tearing and burning her flesh, but with a final, agonized grunt, the metal bent just enough. Her arm was free. Syra and Kale took a step back, their faces a mixture of shock and confusion, assuming she meant to attack them. But she didn't even look at them. Her eyes were fixed on the red-eyed monster that she loved more than her own life. A sad, gentle smile touched her lips. "I love you," she whispered across the space between them. It was a confession, a goodbye, and a final, desperate prayer. Before Alaric's beast could react, before Syra could move to stop her, she turned her own newly freed hand on herself. Her claws, sharp and black, appeared for a final time. She didn't hesitate. She drove them deep into her own chest, a swift, shocking act of ultimate sacrifice aimed directly at her own heart. The effect was instantaneous and absolute. The bond that connected their souls didn't fade. It shattered. It was the sound of a thousand mirrors breaking at once, a psychic shockwave that threw Alaric backward. The red light in his eyes vanished as if a switch had been flipped. The curse, its anchor and its fuel source now gone, collapsed in on itself. The monstrous form dissolved, melting away in a swirl of shadow and light, leaving only the man, naked, wounded, and utterly broken, on the cold stone floor. The beast was gone. The silence in his mind, where her presence had been a constant humming song, was deafening. He scrambled forward, his movements clumsy with shock, and caught her as she slumped forward, her life fading with impossible speed. He pulled her into his arms, holding her tight against him. Her eyes were already losing their focus, her breath a shallow hitching sound. He looked down at the beautiful, impossible girl who had saved him by damning herself, and a sound tore from his throat. It was not the roar of an alpha or the growl of a beast. It was the sound of a soul being ripped in two, a howl of pure, undiluted grief that shook the fortress to its foundations. He threw his head back and roared her name, a desperate, broken cry to a sky that could not hear him. As he held her lifeless body, lost in a world of absolute agony, the blood moon hanging in the sky above the dungeon grate seemed to pause. A single, impossible tear of pure silver light detached itself from the crimson orb. It drifted down through the cold night air, through the bars of the window, a lonely, shimmering spark in the darkness. And with a silence that was louder than any sound, it landed gently upon Ashley's still chest, right over her broken heart. Chapter 19, The Moon's Tear Silence. A profound, echoing silence where a heartbeat and a soul used to be. Alaric held the impossible weight of Ashley's lifeless body. His world collapsed into a single point of unbearable agony. The fortress, the council, the prophecy, none of it mattered. All that existed was the cold, still reality of the girl in his arms. His roar of grief was a physical thing, a wave of pure despair that shook the stone walls and rattled the silver chains. It was the sound of a universe ending. Syra and Kale, the architects of this tragedy, stood frozen, their faces pale with a dawning, superstitious terror at what they had just witnessed. An act of love so absolute, it defied all of their rigid, ancient laws. And the moon, it seemed, agreed. The single shimmering tear of silver light that had fallen from the sky drifted through the dungeon's gloom. It was a spark of impossible hope in a world consumed by shadow. It landed on Ashley's chest, directly over the self-inflicted wound, and did not extinguish. Instead, it began to glow. At first, it was a soft, gentle pulse, a quiet rhythm of light in the darkness. Alaric, lost in the fog of his sorrow, didn't notice. He was too busy memorizing the curve of her face, the feel of her hand, which was already growing cold in his. But the light grew stronger. It was a clean, purifying luminescence that pulsed with a steady, insistent beat. It pushed back the dungeon's shadows, casting a silver halo around Ashley's still form. The chilling scent of death and old stone began to recede, replaced by the impossible fragrance of night-blooming jasmine. The light expanded, pouring from Ashley's heart, streaming out of the high dungeon window like a river. Outside, the blood-red moon, a symbol of curse and doom, began to fade. Its crimson stain bled away, leaving behind a sphere of pure, brilliant, incandescent white. Sierra and Kale stumbled backward, their faces aghast with a primal fear. This was not the magic of shifters. This was not a power they could control or codify. This was divine. This was the direct intervention of the goddess herself, and they had just murdered the woman who was her avatar. Their arrogance, their certainty, shattered into a million pieces. They were no longer judges. They were heretics standing on sacred ground. A strange, gentle warmth spread from Ashley's body into Alaric's hands. It was the light, the goddess's magic, and it felt like a benediction. It pulled him from the depths of his grief, forcing him to look down. The horrific wound on her chest was gone. The skin was smooth and unblemished, and from that spot, the silver light pulsed. His breath hitched. With a trembling, hesitant hand, he pressed his fingers to her neck, searching for a pulse he knew he wouldn't find. Nothing. Desperate, he lowered his head, pressing his ear to her chest, praying to a goddess he had long since cursed. He heard only silence. But then, thump. It was faint. So faint it was more a feeling than a sound. A single, soft beat from the center of the light. He held his breath, listening. Thump, thump. It was a heartbeat, fragile, impossible. But it was there. His grief, so absolute and suffocating, cracked. And through that crack, a single, terrifying, beautiful ray of hope began to shine. Chapter 20. Silence and Song. The silver light pulsed, a new heart for a broken world. It was the rhythm of creation, of a fate being unwritten and then rewritten in characters of pure moonlight. The warmth flowed from Ashley's still form into Alaric, a gentle, cleansing tide. He felt it move through his veins, seeking out the darkest corners of his soul, the places where the ancient curse had taken root. It was a magic born of her sacrifice, a power that could only be unlocked by an act of perfect, selfless love. He clutched her tighter, a silent, desperate plea for her to stay, to not be an illusion. He felt the curse, the dark, raging beast he had carried for a lifetime, begin to unravel. It was not a violent exorcism. There was no pain. It was a quiet, gentle release, like a knot that had been tight for centuries finally being untied. The rage, the agony, the fear of the blood moon, it all just dissolved. It faded into nothingness under the goddess's grace, leaving behind not an empty space but a profound sense of peace. The monster was gone. The part of him that he had hated, the part that had defined his lonely existence, was unmade. He was whole. He was free. And then, a new voice filled his mind. It was not the cryptic whisper of Ashley's wolf. This voice was vast, ancient as the stars, yet as gentle as a mother's touch. It was the moon goddess. "She was my silence," the goddess whispered, the words echoing not in his ears, but in his soul. A vessel left empty so that it could be filled with a love strong enough to contain a cursed king. "She was my silence. Now she is my song." The truth of it settled over him with the weight of revelation. Ashley had never been forgotten. She had been chosen. Her entire life of being moonless, of being an outcast, had not been a punishment. It had been a preparation. Her quiet strength, her silent endurance, her profound capacity for empathy, it had all been a tempering, forging her into the only being in existence who could absorb his curse and heal him. Her greatest shame was, in fact, her most divine gift. As the goddess's voice faded, the silver light that had poured from Ashley's heart began to recede, drawing back into her body. The glow softened, condensing into the swirling sigil on her wrist. The mark, once a brand of a deadly prophecy, now shone with the steady, gentle light of a blessing. The last of the light sank into her skin, and the dungeon was returned to its normal gloom. But nothing would ever be normal again. A sharp, hitching gasp. Ashley's chest rose with a sudden, shuddering breath. Her eyelids fluttered, then slowly, hesitantly, they opened. Alaric's breath caught in his throat. He looked into her eyes and saw not the familiar hazel flecked with his silver, but two pools of pure liquid moonlight. She was not just alive. She was reborn. She was a miracle. A goddess in her own right. He couldn't speak. Words were too small, too clumsy for the emotions cresting inside him. He could only hold her, his tears finally falling. No longer tears of grief, but of a joy so profound it was almost painful. She slowly raised a hand, her touch now impossibly soft, and laid it against his cheek. She looked deep into his eyes, and he knew that she could see it. The absence of the beast, the profound peace that had settled in his soul. A slow, beautiful smile spread across her face, and in that smile, he saw the dawn of a new world. Chapter 21, The Cleansing Fire. They gave themselves one day, a single cycle of sun and moon to rediscover the world and each other. Alaric's fortress was no longer a prison or a battlefield. It was a sanctuary. The members of the Silver Creed and the Council had fled in terror at the display of the goddess's power, leaving the castle eerily silent. For Alaric, it was a day of quiet reverence, watching the woman he loved regain her strength. For Ashley, it was a day of discovery. The world felt different, brighter. She was connected to it, to the very moonlight, in a way she couldn't explain. The power that hummed within her was not the wild, chaotic energy of the wolf, but a calm, steady luminescence, a power of balance and restoration. Their first act as a reborn couple was not to hide, not to consolidate power, but to seek justice. The Silver Creed was a cancer, a fanatical ideology of purity that had twisted the pack laws into a doctrine of hate. They could not build a new world while that sickness was allowed to fester. They had to cut it out at the root. Their destination was the Creed's hidden temple, a secret stronghold carved into the heart of the most remote, desolate mountain. When they arrived, they found not a fortress, but a monastery of stone and ice, dedicated to a cold, unforgiving vision of the moon. Inside, the last of the Creed's zealots, led by a hardened and unrepentant Kale, were preparing for their last stand. They saw Alaric and Ashley not as shifters, but as demons to be exorcised. The fight that followed was not a desperate struggle for survival. It was a cleansing. Alaric shifted, his lycan form now a thing of pure, majestic power, untainted by the rage of the curse. He moved with the force of a storm, but a storm with a purpose, disarming and disabling his opponents with a controlled strength he had never known. He was no longer a beast of destruction, he was a king of judgment. Ashley was the heart of the storm. She did not shift. She did not need to. As the hunters lunged with their silver blades, she raised her hands and from her palms poured a soft, brilliant moonlight. The light didn't burn or destroy. It purified. The silver weapons, symbols of intolerance, crumbled into dust upon contact with her light. The fanaticism in the hunter's eyes faltered, replaced by confusion, then awe. Her power was not an attack on their bodies, but on their hatred. It showed them the truth of the moon, a force of balance, not of cruel, exclusionary purity. Kale was the last one standing, his face a mask of disbelief. "Witch!" he spat, lunging at her. Alaric moved to intercept, but Ashley held up a hand, stopping him. She met Kale's charge with a calm, sad gaze. She didn't strike him. She simply engulfed him in her light. He screamed, not in pain, but in revelation, as the centuries of dogma and hatred were burned out of his soul, leaving him weeping and broken on the temple floor. The battle was over. not with a roar, but with a whisper. They stood together in the now silent temple, the last vestiges of Ashley's light fading from the air. Alaric looked at her, at the woman who had died and been reborn, the woman who now wielded the grace of a goddess. The prophecy had been the specter that haunted them, the doom that had driven them to this point. But now, he finally understood its true meaning. "The prophecy was never about destruction," he said, his voice filled with a quiet awe. Ashley turned to him, her moonlit eyes holding all the love in the world. She took his hand, her touch both a comfort and a source of incredible power. "The moon never cursed us," she replied, her voice the sound of a new truth dawning. "We cursed ourselves by not believing in love." Chapter 22. The Alpha and His Moonlight. News of the goddess's intervention and the fall of the Silver Creed spread through the territories like a cleansing fire. It burned away the old fears and rigid laws, leaving behind a landscape of uncertainty and awe. To settle the chaos, Alaric called for a grand council. He chose not his fortress, a symbol of power and pain, but a neutral sacred ground, a vast ancient clearing ringed by colossal moss-covered stones, a place where generations of alphas had met under the watchful eye of the moon. They came from every direction. The Blackwood Pack, Ashley's former tormentors, stood nervously at the edge of the gathering, their alpha Marcus looking uneasy. Dozens of other packs, large and small, filled the clearing, their scents a complex tapestry of curiosity and suspicion. They had heard only whispered, impossible rumors of a cursed alpha healed, of a moonless girl who had died and been returned by the goddess herself. Syra and a deeply humbled, silent Kyle stood apart from the others, their presence a testament to the unbelievable truth. The air was thick with unspoken questions, a tension so palpable you could taste it. Then they arrived. Alaric and Ashley walked into the clearing, not as conquerors, but as partners. He was no longer the feared, solitary king who ruled through intimidation. The haunted look was gone from his silver eyes, replaced by a calm, quiet strength that was more commanding than any show of force. At his side, Ashley moved with a serene grace that was utterly captivating. She was not the timid, invisible girl who hid in stables. She was luminous, her moonlit eyes filled with a gentle wisdom. The silver sigil on her wrist glowed with a soft, constant light, a beacon of the goddess's favor. Alaric stood before them all and, for the first time, he did not command. He spoke. He told them everything. Of his inherited curse, of the council's fear that led to their fanaticism, of the prophecy they had all misinterpreted. He spoke of his own arrogance, his own despair, and his own salvation. It was not a speech of an alpha to his subjects. It was a confession, an act of profound vulnerability that held more power than any threat. "I was a broken king," he finished, his gaze sweeping over the assembled wolves. "And my kingdom was a prison of my own making. I was saved not by power or by law, but by a love that I was told would be my ruin." He then turned, his expression softening with a reverence that silenced the entire clearing, and held his hand out to Ashley. The council called her an abomination. The creed called her a witch. But the moon calls her chosen. Ashley stepped forward, taking his hand. Her eyes found the faces of her old pack in the crowd, Ilara, Marcus, and the others who had caused her so much pain. She felt no anger, only a quiet, sad understanding. Her voice, once so soft it was barely heard, now rang with a gentle clarity that reached every corner of the clearing. "For my entire life, I believed I was empty," she said. "I believed the moon had forgotten my name. But I was wrong. The goddess never judges us by the strength of the wolf we carry inside. She judges us by the strength of the heart that carries it." She looked at them all, her gaze a benediction. "There is no such thing as a moonless soul. There are only those who have not yet learned the words to their own song." A profound silence fell over the clearing. It was not the silence of fear or uncertainty. It was the silence of revelation. Then, Kale, The ancient, proud elder who had called for her death slowly, deliberately knelt to the ground. He did not bow to Alaric. He bowed to Ashley. And one by one, a ripple spreading through the crowd, the other alphas and their packs followed suit. They were not kneeling to a king and his queen. They were bowing before the living proof that love was a more powerful force than any curse, and that mercy was a more sacred law than any tradition. Chapter 23, The Gardener of Lost Wolves. Months passed, and the world began to heal. The fortress, once a place of shadows and secrets, was transformed. Its doors were thrown open, and it became a center of learning, a sanctuary for those who had been cast out by the old rigid ways. The fear that had ruled the territories for so long was slowly being replaced by a fragile but determined hope, nurtured by the alpha who had been healed, and the woman who now walked beside him, a living legend they called the Moon's Song. Ashley found her true purpose not in ruling, but in healing. She was not a Luna in the traditional sense, a title that felt too small for what she had become. She was a gardener. Her charges were the lost and broken wolves, the young shifters who, like her, had been born different, the ones with imperfections that the old laws would have seen as weaknesses to be culled. A young male who couldn't fully shift, his form caught awkwardly between boy and beast. A she-wolf whose fur had grown in patches. A pup, born blind in one eye. They were all brought to her, their families full of shame and fear, and in them, Ashley saw a perfect reflection of her own painful past. One afternoon, a small, shivering girl with startlingly blue eyes was brought before her. Her name was Lyra, and she had been born mute. She could not speak in her human form, nor could she howl in her wolf form. Her pack saw her as a defective omen, a creature of unnatural silence. Ashley dismissed the worried parents with a gentle smile and led the little girl by the hand out into the castle's sprawling gardens. They sat together on a stone bench, not speaking. Ashley didn't try to force a conversation. She simply sat with Lyra in a shared, comfortable silence. After a long while, she pointed to a rosebush, its petals a deep, velvety crimson. She then touched her own heart and closed her eyes, a look of serene appreciation on her face. Lyra watched, her blue eyes wide and curious. Ashley then pointed to a busy honeybee and then touched her own ears, smiling at the faint buzzing sound. She was teaching the girl a new language, a language of senses, of feeling, of being present in the world in a way that didn't require a voice. Days turned into weeks. Ashley showed Lyra how the silence allowed her to notice things others missed, the subtle shift of the wind before a rainstorm, the terrified heartbeat of a mouse hiding from a hawk, the unique scent of every single flower in the garden. She learned that her silence was not an emptiness. It was a space that allowed the rest of the world to rush in. The turning point came during a morning session. Ashley was holding a small, frightened bird that had fallen from its nest. The bird was trembling, its heart beating a frantic rhythm of terror. Ashley offered it to Lyra. The girl hesitated, then gently took the bird into her small hands. She didn't make a sound. She simply held it, her own quiet, calming presence a balm of pure empathy. The bird's trembling slowly subsided. It chirped once, then, with a flutter of renewed strength, it flew from her hands and back up into the sky. Lyra looked up at Ashley, her eyes shining with tears, not of sadness, but of a joy so profound it needed no words. She had a gift. Her silence was a sanctuary. It was her strength. As Ashley watched the little girl run off, her steps now light and full of a purpose she had never known, a final piece of her own healing clicked into place. "I thought the moon forgot me," she reflected, a gentle smile touching her lips. "Turns out, she was just waiting for me to speak first." Chapter 24, What the Moon Buried. The night was perfect. The air was cool and clean, carrying the scent of pine from the distant forests and the faint, sweet perfume of the jasmine that now grew wild along the fortress walls. A full, perfect moon hung in the black velvet sky, a benevolent silver eye watching over a world at peace. Alaric and Ashley stood together on a high balcony, the same one where he had once stood alone, consumed by his curse. Now, he felt only a profound sense of calm. The silence in his soul, where the beast's rage had once been a constant storm, was no longer an emptiness. It was a quiet space that he had filled, completely and utterly, with his love for her. He reached for her hand, their fingers lacing together in a familiar, comforting gesture. "It's beautiful," he said, his voice a low, contented murmur. He wasn't talking about the moon, or the stars, or the breathtaking view. He was talking about the quiet, the peace, the simple, unbelievable fact that they were standing here, together and whole. "I used to hate the moon," Ashley confessed, her voice soft as the breeze. She leaned her head against his shoulder, her body fitting perfectly against his. "I thought it was a symbol of everything I wasn't, everything I had failed to be." "And now?" he asked, turning to look at her. The moonlight caught in her eyes, making them glow with an ethereal, divine light. "Now," she said, a slow smile spreading across her face. "Now I know it was just a mirror, and I didn't know how to look." She felt the wolf inside her, the one born of his bite and her own resilience. It was no longer a separate voice, a wild instinct she had to fight. It was simply a part of her, a quiet, humming song that was woven into the very fabric of her being. It was not a brand or a gift from an outside source. It was hers. The scars on her chest had faded to faint, silvery lines, not a mark of her death, but a beautiful, intricate map of their journey back to life. He was the dark, unshakable strength of the ancient stone beneath their feet. She was the gentle, luminous grace of the moonlight that washed over them. They were balanced. They were one. They stood in a comfortable silence for a long time, watching the stars, their hearts beating in a slow, steady rhythm. The prophecy was a distant memory, a ghost story whose power had long since faded. The future was not a fate written in the stars, but a blank page they would write together. Ashley thought of the pain, the fear, the loneliness, and the impossible love that had carried them through it all. She looked from the perfect moon in the sky to the perfect peace on the face of the man she loved, and the final truth of their story settled in her heart, as clear and as bright as the stars above. "He bit me, and in the agony of that moment, he awoke what the moon had tried to bury. Not a beast of prophecy, not a destructive curse, but a love that refused to die."